Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello and a very warm welcome to RNIB Tech Talk here on RNIB Connect Radio. I'm Dave Williams, and in RNIB Tech Talk, we hope to be your regular source of accessible technology, product reviews, demonstrations, interviews, and reaction to all things in the world of accessible technology. So we hope that you will stick with us. You'll notice there's been some changes around here, and we would love to get your feedback. You can, of course, get in touch with the programme. It's techtalk@rnib.org.uk, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, and we look forward to hearing from you. You're listening to RNIB Tech Talk with me, Dave Williams, and it's my pleasure to be with you once again. You may have heard my voice in a previous life. I've had a background in assistive technology and community media for about 20 years. I've worked for various specialist companies who produce screen reading software and braille equipment. And I've also done a little bit on the BBC, but we'll leave that there. Also on the programme, our co-hosts, Callum Stoneman and Tasneem Arshad, a very warm welcome back to you both. Tasneem, good to have you with us.
Yes, good to be here. Thank you, Dave. So I'm Tasneem Arshad. I have sight loss, so I'm a screen reader user, just switching over from magnification software to more speech. So I'm in the middle of my JAWS training, which is going really well. So my background isn't necessarily technology, but I'm very much here interested in learning and sharing with everybody. But yeah, so I work full time for the NHS, and yeah, that's me.
Brilliant. OK, well, lovely to have you with us. And I'm also a screen reader user, as is Callum Stoneman. And you are a tech guy, right, Callum?
Yes, I am. Yeah. So I'm Callum. My background is in technology, as Dave said there. So I've got a degree in computer networking and security. And I currently work full time for BT. I started off there as a network designer, and I now work for their accessibility team. And I'm a screen reader user as well. I've been completely blind since birth, so I've been a screen reader user all my life, really. Very familiar with NVDA and JAWS and VoiceOver. And yeah, that's me.
Well, we're looking forward to having you both here. I'm sure, Tasneem, you'll keep us on our toes. And Callum, I guess you're a bit like me. You're probably the person that the family call whenever there's the tech problem around the house.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't we love that?
Family members, where every time I get a phone call, I'm like, right, I know what this is about. What have you done now?
Brilliant. Indeed. Well, let us know your technical problems, and between us, we will try and get you the answers. You can get in touch with the programme in all the usual ways, including email techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Tasneem and Callum, looking forward to another Tech Talk here on RNIB Connect Radio. You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. I'm Dave Williams, and this is Tech Talk. Now, smart speakers, I think, are going to come up time and time again because clearly they play a massive part in our lives. However, talking to your smart speaker isn't the only way to control it. Newer smart speakers include cameras that are able to see what you're holding. And here's Callum with his demonstration of Amazon Echo's Show and Tell.
Welcome to this demo of the Show and Tell feature that is available on certain Amazon Echo devices. Over the next few minutes, I'll go over what exactly this is, how it works, the devices it's compatible on, and then towards the end, I will give you a practical demo of it as well. I'll get it to recognize some products that I've got here so that you can hear it in action. So the feature is called Show and Tell, and this is basically product recognition. So if you think of the features you've got in apps such as Scene AI, InVision, other similar apps like that, where you can basically hold a product up to your device's camera and then it will try and find a barcode or a product label, and then it will identify what that item is and possibly give you some information about it. Well, Show and Tell is that feature, but the difference is it's integrated with your Echo device, so you can just use it via voice. So it's very simple. All you do is just give Lady A the voice command, what am I holding or what's in my hand? It will then play a kind of low continuous tone, which means it's looking for something. When it spots something and it starts to recognize something, you know, and it's kind of scanning it and trying to work out what it is, you'll hear several beeps, a kind of beep, 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 beep. And then eventually it will come back and tell you what the item is. Or if it can't find exactly what the item is, it will try and give you some key information, which I think is a real kind of standout feature of this. So if it can't tell you exactly what a product is, it might say, for example, I read the following words, 200 grams, ingredients, something, something, beans. So then if you've got tins in your cupboard and you want to make sure you're not getting beans and tomatoes mixed up, for example, although it's not giving you an exact result, you could be pretty confident that that is beans because you've got that word there. One of the things that's really nice, not only the little kind of, you know, where it'll do a best effort, but what also makes this really nice for me is that there's no additional setup required. It's built in to Lady Air as standard. So if you're someone who's not very technical and you don't want to get into this whole world of getting a smartphone and learning to use the touchscreen and possibly learning the screen reader and downloading the app and, you know, using the app, you don't have to worry about it. Or even if you just want the convenience of being able to invoke product recognition by voice, you know, rather than fiddling around with an app, you can do that. There's no additional setup required. So yes, obviously you have to have the Echo device, but if you wanted to, then, you know, someone else could just do the setup and they would just set it up as normal and then you're good to go. You can use this along with all the other standard features of an Echo device, such as, you know, music, books, podcasts, smart home, etc., etc. Now, this does only work on certain devices. So it only works on the Echo Show range of devices. In other words, the devices that have a screen. And the reason for that is because they are the devices that have a camera in them, whereas devices like the Echo Dot and the standard Echo, they don't have a camera. But what I will say, if you're worried about having Lady Air with a touchscreen, I've had my Echo Show here for about a year, and it's very rare that I've needed to interact with the touchscreen. Lady Air works in exactly the same way, and if you ever do need to interact with the screen, there is a screen reader built in. I'm not going to go into specifics, but there is a screen reader built in called Voice View, and that works really, really well. If you're familiar with VoiceOver on the iPhone, you'll get on fine with Voice View. The gestures are exactly the same, and I believe there's some magnification settings on there that you can use as well. So it's only compatible on those devices, but for me at least, that doesn't take away from the experience of using Lady Air. So let's see how this does. And one thing I will just point out, I've actually changed the name of my Echo. So my wake word is now the word Echo instead of the usual word. The reason for that is just because I've got a few other Lady Air enabled speakers in this room and I can't change the wake word of those. So this will work exactly the same using the default wake word. It's just that mine has been changed to Echo. I've got a few products here and let's just see how it does. So I'm going to unmute my Echo. Okay, it's now listening. So the first one we'll try, I've got a box here. It's like a cereal box. I think this might be porridge oats actually, but we'll see if it can confirm that. Echo, what am I holding?
Let's see.
So that low tone means it's looking for something. So I'm going to hold the box in front of it.
Make sure that your hands aren't covering the front of the item. It looks like Scott's Oats.
There you go. I got that straight away. Scott's Oats. So that is an example, funnily enough, of it working perfectly. The next thing that I'm going to try with is a bottle of sauce to see whether it can tell us what type of sauce it is. When I tested this earlier, it didn't work too well, and I kind of wanted to show you this. I wanted to show you what happens when it struggles a bit with recognizing something. So let's see what happens. Echo, what am I holding?
Let's see.
Okay, so we've got the low tone.
Try moving your item slowly left or right.
So I'm just moving the item around. We've got the beeps. And then we've lost them again. Here we are.
I read the following words. 0, energy, typical, 3. If you'd like to hear the tutorial again, say, Echo, help on show and tell.
Okay, so in that case, and there is a tutorial there as well, which I didn't mention, but the Echo itself does have a tutorial built in. And if you've got a show device, it will describe, it'll give you a physical description of your device, and it will describe where the camera is and let you know what the different beeps mean and things like that. But as you can see there, I probably had it held the wrong way by the sounds of it. If I'd have maybe held it the other way, it might have read the actual product name, whereas then it kind of got things from the nutritional info. So in that sense, it didn't work. It didn't tell me what it was, but it did demonstrate the, you know, I read the following words kind of thing. So this is not perfect. I wouldn't say it's at a point where you could, you know, just go and unpack your shopping independently and this would help you. It's still relatively new, I guess, in the UK, and it seems to be still struggling with a lot of our products, but I think it is really good for the odd occasion that you need it. And it's a very easy way, as I said before, it doesn't require a smartphone, it doesn't require you to get used to downloading apps and using apps. It's just a very easy way to get into using this type of technology. And it's certainly, you know, as I say, no means perfect, but it's better than nothing. And when it works, it's fantastic. So that was a quick look at the Echo Show and Tell feature. I hope you found this useful.
Callum Stoneman there with his demonstration of Amazon Echo's Show and Tell. Callum, is it fair to say that this feature is a little bit of a work in progress, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that, yeah. As I said in the demo, it's good for the odd occasion, you know, where you might just want to quickly recognise something. It will probably get the job done. It started off in the US and then it's kind of come over here. So I think the sort of, it's getting, you know, the database is still kind of getting updated with our products and barcodes, you know, from like the major supermarkets and things. So yeah, it's not perfect, but it's good. You know, it's a good start.
I've found it to be a little bit hit and miss when I've played with it. Sometimes, you know, it'll say try again, or, you know, turn the item round so I can see the other side. I've found that a dedicated app, you know, on a smartphone is, you know, like Seeing AI or something like that can be a little bit more robust.
Yeah. Yeah. Completely agree with that.
So perhaps, you know, useful, something to play with, one to watch, and we'll keep in touch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks very much, Callum Stoneman, with his demonstration of Amazon Echo's Show and Tell. And if you've had a play with this feature, we'd love to know what you think. Why not drop us a line? It's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Who doesn't love to read? And of course, for those of us who are blind or partially sighted, it's vital that those books come in an accessible format. We managed to catch up with Paul Porter, RNIB's Digital Transformation Manager from RNIB's Reading Services, about ways in which we can access talking books. I'm joined now by Paul Porter, who is RNIB's Digital Transformation Manager with our library service. Hello, Paul. Good to have you with us. Tell us a bit about your role. What does Digital Transformation Manager, what does that mean in practice?
Thanks, Steve. Yes, it's good to be on Tech Talk again. It's an interesting title, isn't it? And, you know, I think there are lots of weird and wonderful titles these days for jobs. But essentially, I guess I've got two sort of parts to my job. One is to help develop RNIB reading services. So that's in terms of our reading services download service, in terms of our Braille service, and in terms of our Alexa skill. And then the digital transformation part of it, I suppose, is about promoting the service and getting people to think about, you know, moving, or not necessarily moving away, but using alternative ways of reading. So, you know, in the past, typically you might have been reading large print, you might have been reading Braille. You can now get Braille in electronic form. So instead of having, you know, hundreds of volumes scattered around your house or in a garage or you know, wherever it might be, you can have thousands of books on a small SD card that gets into a small, relatively inexpensive Braille device. So, you know, a colleague worked out that at the moment on reading services, we've got about 4,000 Braille books available to download and read on your Braille display. And if you were to, you know, look at that in terms of physical Braille pages, it would be something like 3 tons of Braille, you know. So electronic reading is slightly different, but you've got much more choice. You've got, literally, you've got your library at your fingertips. The same with our talking books. So you can download them onto your computer or download them using an app onto your smartphone or tablet. And then we've now got the talking book skill with Amazon. And again, that gives you the ability to choose what you want to read, when you want to read it. You don't have to wait till books come through the post. You can choose what books you want to read in order. So there's lots of advantages of, you know, reading books in different ways.
So let's focus in then on the talking books, because that obviously is one of the sort of the jewels in the crown. It's been described to me, the RNIB talking book library. And I remember as a kid, you know, receiving those big cassettes. They were a bit like cassettes through the post, you know, the were they like six track or something?
Yeah, I think it was an eight track, but it had six tracks on it, and it was very linear, so you couldn't really move from chapter to chapter. You know, it was a very mechanical device, which our talking book volunteers love to tinker with and repair for people. You know, it was mains powered, so it wasn't portable. But, you know, at the time, it was what we had. And like you growing up at that time, you know, it was great because you could listen to books. And
I was hugely excited. You know, I mean, I used to look forward to the books coming through the post, you know, and see what had come, and they were labelled in Braille, and I used to put them in my plate. The thing that used to happen to me that was always a kind of frustrating was the ribbon would get kind of chewed up sometimes by the, you know, the player, and then you'd sort of be mortified because you wouldn't be able to listen to your book and you couldn't get the cassette out of the machine. So things obviously moved on a bit. We went to CDs, and now obviously we've gone to downloads, which is great. You know, for people who've got smartphones and things like that, they can install an app and they can download it. But that's not going to be for everybody. Not everybody's comfortable using, you know, a touchscreen necessarily. And now, of course, we've got this much easier way of accessing the Talking Book Library using a skill on our Amazon Alexa Echo devices. And that was introduced last year, so more than 6 months old now, and it's been phenomenally popular, as I understand it.
It has. I mean, you know, I quite agree that, you know, smartphones and tablets are fantastic, but it's not the answer for everybody. And I think sometimes people feel a bit pressured into using devices that we really struggle with, you know, and the opposite is true. Some people get these devices and absolutely love them and fly with them and don't have any issues. But, you know, part of my job is to make reading accessible to everybody. I'm going to say the Alexa word once, and from now I'm going to call it a lady, because I don't want people's devices going off inadvertently, which can sometimes happen if you use her name. But, you know, the lady came along in 2016, and, you know, I think it was revolutionary. It was a game changer, because not only blind and partial sighted people are using these devices, but, you know, everybody generally, you know, if you're fully sighted or whatever, everyone's using these devices, so it kind of gives us a level playing field. And we wanted to make a skill available so that people could, you know, sign up for it and access our more than 34,000 audiobooks just by talking to the device. We launched our talking book skill last year, and, you know, it as you say, it's been really popular. Lots of people have signed up for it, and you know, we've got lots of people listening to books and choosing the books they want to read when they want to read them. So it's just been, as you say, phenomenal, I think the word is. We've had lots of really good feedback from customers, you know, saying things like, this was a real surprise, you know, and it's great that RNIB are doing this, you know, going down the kind of, you know, getting into the 21st century, and it's just been fantastic. It really has.
So 34,000 books available from the Talking Book Library, completely free of charge, as I understand it, and over 1,000 people accessing the service every single day. I mean, that's incredible, and congratulations to everybody involved with that. So if I'm listening to this, maybe haven't used the Talking Book service for a while, not even sure if I've got an active membership, how do I get sort of started? How do I get RNIB Talking Books on my Amazon Echo device? What's the steps that I need to take?
So at the moment, we have different subscriptions albeit they're all free, but we have our physical talking boot still on CD and USB stick, and people can sign up to that online. But we have our digital service, which we call RNIB Reading Services, where you can download books onto your computer or using various apps like Dolphin EasyReader, for example, onto your smartphone or tablet. That service is only available to people who live in the UK because of copyright and publisher permissions and so on. And I know that we have international listeners, but unfortunately, you're not eligible to sign up. But we have to protect, you know, publishers, and they're obviously very keen that, you know, only their books can be heard in this jurisdiction that they're available for. It's all very sort of legalese and complicated, but essentially, if you live in the UK and you have a visual impairment or a print disability, which means you can't read normal size print, then you would be eligible to sign up to the Talking Books physical service or to the RNIB reading services. Now, the RNIB reading services, you sign up online. And again, that's got to do with data protection and giving people control over their, you know, their own sort of digital details. So in the past, when we had our RNIB Overdrive, the RNIB helpline would set it up for you, but they're not able to do that. You do need to do that yourself.
Is that something that the Technology for Life team perhaps could help with if somebody was struggling to do that?
Yeah, they can talk you through the process, but what they can't do is sort of go and do it for you. But they can actually, you know, take you through it over the phone and sort of tell you what to do. You know, of course, you can always get friends and relatives to help with it. Or we have, of course, our volunteers that you can organise through the Tech for Life team as well. But it is really, you know, there's so much kind of fraud and difficulty with online kind of, you know, sign ups these days. But we want to protect customers, and we also want to protect, you know, RNIB staff as well. So it kind of works both ways. But it's a fairly, you know, straightforward process. It's been fully tested with different screen readers and magnification. And, you know, you go to https://readingservices.rnib.org.uk. That's all lowercase. You've then got a login, a register. You fill in your details, you get an email with a link on it, and you open the link, and then you fill in your marketing preferences, and you've got a couple of boxes that say I'm eligible for the service, and then once you've done that, you're registered. And then you can then download books using, as I say, the computer or smartphone or tablet. But to then access the A-Lady skill, you would say to A-Lady, open the RNIB Talking Books, and at that point you would get a link sent to your Alexa app that's registered, you know, to that device. So that may be something you have, or it might be something a relative has. They then open that link, and you can then you get a link to link your reading services account to the skill. At that point, you put in your reading services login details, so your username and password, and your username is your email address, and the password is whatever you want to, you know, use as a password. And then from then on, the skill is linked to your reading services account, and you can start using the skill.
Right, so you need to have an account with Reading Services at RNIB, and you also need to have an account with Amazon, so that you can then link the two together by saying to the A-Lady, open RNIB Talking Books.
So, anyone who's got the A-Lady would have it linked to an Amazon account. I don't think you can't set them up without doing that. So, you know, it might be something you have, or it might be something a friend or relative set up on your behalf. So, they would have it on their smartphone or tablet. You can also use a browser and go to alexa.amazon.co.uk, and you can access your skills and your account through that web address as well.
Right, okay. And to be clear, you don't need to have Amazon Prime, or you don't need to buy anything from Amazon to make this to work.
No, absolutely not.
Paul Porter there, Digital Transformation Manager with the RNIB Reading Services team. Tasneem and Callum, are you avid readers?
I love reading, definitely. And I use the Audible app, actually, and find that really, really helpful. But I'm also aware of the RNIB skill that's available on Alexa. So I'm looking forward to kind of getting myself registered on that so that I can access that in the near future.
And how about you, Callum? What's your preferred way to read?
I'm very similar, to be honest. I'm more of an audio book person than a Braille book. I don't know what it is. I love Braille, but to read a full book in Braille, I don't really have the patience for it. But yeah, I love Audible. The RNIB reading services as well is fantastic. You know, so many books available on there. Really nice, really good quality, really well read. So yeah, I love using that.
Yeah, I'm a big reader as well, Callum, and I love audiobooks, Braille books, can't get enough, and we'll be hearing more from Paul Porter a little bit later on. Taz, is that it? Are you just an Audible girl, or do you have any other ways to read?
No, I mean, I do love Audible, but I also look at the Kindle app as well. So I really enjoy reading professional books. So my background is psychology, and I prefer to read the psychology professional books via Kindle. I just find that distinction between sort of professional reading and then the kind of more leisure reading for Audible. And I'm guessing a lot of people, you know, may prefer different synthesizers, voices, that sort of thing for leisure reading and different for professional. So I don't know. What do you think, Callum?
So you like the narrators, Callum, by the sounds of it. You like those human narrators. But Tasneem, you're quite prepared to read an academic text, for example, using a screen reader.
iOS, yes, voiceover. I do read. I mean, obviously, my preference would be to have it read out, you know, by human voice naturally. And sometimes that does occur in my workplace. But in terms of independent reading and accessibility, I find that the Kindle is quite good, or even iBooks, actually. Any leisure reading definitely happens with the kind of professionally read Audible. And I don't use Braille. So my options are basically Audible, Kindle, iOS, that sort of thing.
Callum, can you tolerate listening to a screen reader for an extended period of time?
Yeah, for me, I think reading for pleasure definitely has to be a person, you know, like a human reader. I think it's because I use speech all the time for mainly work, but then I'm using screen readers all the time as well. And I know some people get around it by, you know, switching maybe to a different voice for reading, which you can do. You know, there's ways that you can set that to happen automatically when you open, for example, Kindle or Apple Books. But no, for me, I hear synthesized speech all the time. So when it's something for pleasure, I almost feel like I need a bit of a break from it, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I do all of the above. And sometimes I'll read Braille as well, because I want to be able to find my own voice and the voice of the author, not necessarily have that filter of an actor or a screen reader trying to interpret how that should sound. We'll be hearing more from Paul Porter, RNIB's Digital Transformation Manager, a little bit later on. And we'll also be hearing from Madeline Bloom from RNIB's Technology for Life team, who are a bit of a one-stop shop for your technology related questions. If you'd like to get in contact with the program, we'd love to hear about the ways in which you enjoy reading accessibly. You can do that via email. It's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Tasneem and Callum, thanks very much. It feels like the TV's never off in our house, but if you are blind or partially sighted, how do you find out what's actually on now and next, or what's coming up over the weekend? Or maybe you want to access your recordings or video on demand services. Well, with all the information that we could ever need, it's Madeline Bloom from RNIB's Technology for Life. You're listening to RNIB Tech Talk. I'm Dave Williams, and we're joined again by Madeline Bloom from RNIB's Technology for Life team. Hello, Madeline. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Dave?
Yeah, great. Welcome back to RNIB Tech Talk. Now, you are going to pop in on a regular basis, we hope, and let us know what the good people out in the world are calling in to Technology for Life. So what's one of the hot topics at the moment? What do people ask you about this week?
everything that we discuss tends to be, or a lot of it tends to be, about smart technology. So this week, I think one of the most discussed topics I had really were smart TVs.
Ah, TV.
And our setup at home, like what can we as blind or partially sighted people do to go with the time and have it all smart?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes people throw around this phrase, you know, smartphone, smart TV, smart technology. But actually, what are we talking about here? Do we mean that it can run lots of different apps, or it can access lots of different services? Is that what we're saying when we talk about smart technology?
Well, these days, I think it's some of that, what you've just said. It's that it's extremely smart because it knows you're using a phone. If you connect it, have you had it connected before? It can talk to you if it's connected to something like Google Home or Amazon Echo. You can talk to it as well. And it's extremely smart because it gets you connected to every service you have and you need, and obviously it's connected to the internet. I guess that's what's the important bit here about smart.
Okay, but let's start with the absolute basics. So if I just want to access free to air broadcast TV channels, and I want to know, you know, what is showing, maybe what's now and next, or perhaps what's going to be on later on, what do you think would be the best product for that?
Well, that depends whether you are in the market for a new television or you are not. I think for everyone that's in the market for a new television, because theirs might be at the end of their working life, or you just feel it's time to have a bigger screen, go for something that has accessibility set in. So something that gives you the options to have text-to-speech, and also something like your Google Home or Amazon Echo supported as well.
So obviously the first thing is to check what you already have and to find out if you've already got some accessibility features built into the settings of your existing TV. And many of those do now, the Samsung and LG, I think. Panasonic, does Sony? I think Sony has some accessible TVs as well.
Definitely.
How do people find out which ones have those features?
Well, that always differentiates a little bit from TV to TV, but try and find settings, audio settings. It can be under accessibility, anything that says to you that anything is to do with accessibility or audio. System preferences, anything might be popping up there in your menus that gives you a bit of a clue that you can choose accessibility settings here.
And we probably should clarify what we mean by accessibility settings. So these are things like improving the size of the font of the menus, perhaps speaking what's written on screen.
Contrast.
All that good stuff. So those features, hugely important. And also audio description, that extra commentary that you sometimes get on TV programs that describes the costume and the scenery and the on-screen action that's not evident in the dialogue.
And very important it is to mention here that if you buy that new TV, it's not that every movie that you watch from now on has audio description. That is always to do with the broadcaster. If they provide audio description, yes, your TV is able to show you the audio description. But if audio description is not existing in that particular movie that you are about to watch, then unfortunately, even though you have that spanking new television there in your lounge, that will not give you audio description.
Now, it might be that the TV itself doesn't have a great deal going on in the way of accessibility. I know, for example, my TV, I've got a 12, 13 year old plasma TV. You know, it works really well still, so I don't really see the need to replace it. But the way I've made that accessible is to connect third party devices, in particular the Apple TV, which runs obviously the voiceover screen reader. And then I can access extra content from the likes of Netflix, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime Video, and third-party services, as well as content, you know, from Apple as well. Is that quite common, would you say?
I would say this is always how I would start. I mean, there's no need to shell out a lot of money in that new television if most of us can't see the screen anyway, remember? So there's no need to buy a new television if you have something that already that's already there. Just get an Apple TV or an Amazon Fire Stick and you'll be fine.
And then other options, of course, you don't just watch TV on your TV anymore. There are lots of other devices that allow you to watch TV series and movies. So, you know, tablets and smartphones and...
Yeah, to be honest, if it's just me watching TV and I need to catch up on some soaps, I'm fine just using my phone with some headphones. But for some family viewing, I think it's quite nice to have an accessible television.
Yeah, definitely when you're watching with other people.
I think it's making us feel included, and that's what I like. We've got choices here. You know, we have a choice to buy this or the other. So it might be that something that I want for my lounge might not be what a customer I speak to wants for their lounge. And it's fine because at the end of the day, we are able to have a choice here what we want to buy. And it's not that there's only one particular device here that is accessible. I think that's what I like about it. If you are unsure, you can always give us a call and we can talk you through it. But another learning curve is also the steep curve of payments that is connected with watching accessible television, isn't it? I mean, you have the television that's accessible or your other solution with your Amazon Fire Stick or the Apple TV or indeed an accessible television. But then it's all the services that demand a monthly fee as well. So I'm thinking of the likes like Netflix, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime. We can, you know, do that for quite a few more services that are out there. I justify it with, well, I'm not a person that goes to a cinema quite often because I can create my own experience at home, but that is inclusive because I have audio description. So that's fine, but, you know, do read up about it before you actually sign up to paid for services if you are not known to them already.
Yeah, find out how to go about counselling in case you decide you don't want it anymore. I always set reminders in my calendar to tell me, you know, that Disney Plus is going to renew and this is how much it's going to cost. And are you sure you want it for another year? Because otherwise it will just happen automatically. You know, Madeline, before we get some contact details from you so everyone can phone in with their accessible TV questions, the other big part of this jigsaw, of course, is the more traditional set-top box platform. I'm thinking of Virgin Media and Sky. I mean, we have Sky Q in this house, and about a year ago, Sky introduced a screen reader on their Sky Q set-top box. So some of the menus will speak, and the planner, you know, is mostly accessible. What's been your experience with Virgin and Sky?
You've just said two words that irritated me a little bit. Some of the menus are accessible, and most of the planner is accessible, and it makes me angry when I hear things like this, because I'm thinking I want that everything is accessible. I pay the same money, I want that everything is accessible, but I don't want to be tied into a service that I cannot access everything.
And I completely agree. So if people have questions about how to get an accessible TV experience, and maybe questions about costs and so on, what's the best way to contact Technology for Life?
Yeah, if we made you curious and you want to discuss your setup a bit more, just ring the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999, or you can email us tfl@rnib.org.uk.
Madeline Bloom from RNIB's Technology for Life team, thanks very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to RNIB Tech Talk with me, Dave Williams, and my co-hosts this week, Tasneem Arshad and Callum Stoneman. Now, earlier, Callum, we heard a demonstration of show and tell on the Amazon Echo using the camera built into that device. Do you use your cameras generally? Do you think it's something that blind people do? I know that I do.
Yeah, I mean, I used to kind of, whenever you'd look through like the Apple events and stuff, I used to kind of ignore the camera, to be honest. You know, I'd skip past that bit, like, oh, don't really care. But yeah, I'm starting to open up to using it now. You know, there's things like, obviously, product recognition and OCR, which is basically, you know, character recognition. So, you know, reading printed text and documents. But then the video assistance apps, you know, like Be My Eyes and Aira. But then there's also, you know, iOS itself has got really good features now for describing, you know, there are two people in the frame, a man, woman, one is smiling, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's definitely possible for blind people to maybe even take their own selfies and their own photos. And it's something that I'm going to start playing with, definitely.
Tasneem, have you played a bit with photography?
Not really. I mean, similarly to Callum, I do use the kind of the apps, AI apps and InVision app as well, to sort of identify objects. I mean, there's a bit of a knack to it, I guess. It's a bit hit and miss. So I use the camera for that. And I also really love taking sort of pictures. I don't do that independently. I ask the people, you know, family or friends who are with me to take pictures when we're on outings, family events, out with friends, and also of nature and things like that. So, yeah, it's really, I do think blind people do use their cameras. And I think it's no different to a sighted person, you know, having an album of memories and pictures. So it's about how you go about kind of looking at them, labelling them afterwards and sifting through them. That's what I find the most problematic. So I think if there's, you know, software out there or voiceover improving, then, you know, that would be amazing to be able, you know, for me to be able to take those pictures independently when I'm out and about rather than relying on somebody else to do that. But also then being able to, you know, kind of really sift through, delete the ones that I don't want, keep the albums up, you know, kind of really organize that into the memories.
You said there quite rightly that using some of these object recognition apps, there can be a bit of a knack to it. Have you got any top tips?
Yeah, I think something that I heard on a webinar is, for example, if you're reading mail, to kind of place your device in the middle of the kind of A4 sheet, if you like, and then bring your camera up slowly. That tends to capture sometimes like everything, really. You know, you're in a better position. And then you just have to, I guess, play around with it and just angle it around to kind of capture. Sometimes even when, you know, you've got the audio feedback, it's just saying, you know, not everything is in view, more to the left, more to the right. You know, it's a real, I think you have to practice a lot with it, basically, to kind of get that accurate. I would encourage people to practice that, but it can be quite frustrating sometimes as well. So I guess, you know, there are alternatives like the, you know, the Be My Eyes or the Aira. I haven't personally used those apps, but I've heard a lot of positive things about them.
How about you, Callum? What would be your top tip for getting the best out of your camera?
There is a bit of a knack to it, and I think it just takes trial and error. And I think listening to the descriptions that it gives you, if you're using, I know Scene AI is the one that I use the most, and I know that will say like the top edge is not visible or bottom edge is not visible, so you know then to kind of move it around a bit. I think it just comes with practice. You know, the more you play around with it, the more you get used to the descriptions of what it's telling you and what works and what doesn't. I think it's important to say as well that for all of these things, you don't need the latest and greatest cameras either. I'm looking at a new phone at the minute, and I don't think I'll go out for the iPhone, you know, 13 Pro just for the camera. The cameras that you get nowadays on the kind of lower end or more average end phones, if you like, are more than enough for these sort of apps as well. They're, you know, they're fantastic overall.
Lots of good information there, guys. Thank you very much indeed. I know I certainly collect a lot of photographs of my son growing up. And, you know, I love those little descriptions where it tells you, you know, there are three faces and two of them are smiling and maybe one's screaming in fear. So certainly the descriptions of photographs on our devices is getting better. And as you alluded to, those services, Be My Eyes, which is a free volunteer powered service, can make use of your camera for getting assistance from a real human person remotely. Or if you need something a little bit more professional, then Aira might be the way to go. That's AIRA, and Aira is a professional visual description service with trained agents who can help you with visual tasks via your camera. And I've had good experiences with both of those services. So give them a go and let us know. We'd love to hear how you are using your camera on your device here at Tech Talk. You can drop us a line, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. We return now to our interview with Paul Porter, RNIB's Digital Transformation Manager from the Reading Services team, where Paul expands on the ways in which we can access digital talking books.
So if people are a bit daunted by that process, would you say that the Tech for Life team is probably the place to go?
Absolutely. I mean, they can talk you through the whole process. They can, you know, talk about the benefits of these devices in general, because of course you can do so much more than just read books with them. I don't know about you, but I think I've got about seven of them, you know, dotted around the house, and I use it for radio, for news, whatever, alarms, timers, recipes, you know, calculator. You can ask it all sorts of questions. I control my heating with it. I control my lighting. There's so many things you can do with these devices just by using your own voice.
Right.
You can use it, you know, use them as security systems. People can, you can get ones with cameras so people can see what you're doing if you give them permission. So, you know, friends or relatives can drop in on you and make sure you're okay, or you can do vice versa.
Mm.
So, you know, they're just so flexible. And you know, certainly for me, and I don't know, you might have been the same, but when I first got one, it felt a bit odd talking to this inanimate device sitting on my sideboard, you know, but now you just go in and do it as a matter of course. You know, you go from room to room and just ask it, you know, play Radio 4 or play a particular track or play a particular album, or of course, you know, read a particular book. So there's so many things you can do with these devices, and you know, they're not expensive. You know, sometimes you get little ones for £30, right up to, you know, you can get quite big, kind of the Amazon Studio, for example, it's been about 220, and you know, that's quite bassy. It's good sound, but even the small ones sound really good.
And can I ask you, Paul, what happens? You know, focused on this talking books service via the A-Lady, what happens then once you've got your accounts linked together, and then you say open the RNIB talking books? Then what happens?
So once you've got the skill set up, you just see open RNIB talking books, and you can see, you know, find, I don't know, Chamber of Secrets, or you can see list books by J.K. Rowling, or, you know, find books about politics, or find books about whatever subject you want.
And how do you know, like, what commands are available?
So when you first start the skill, you get a short tutorial in about six sections that you can go through. There aren't very many commands. So, you know, you've got find, you've got list, then you've got, when you get a list of books, you know, it'll let us say, yep, found the Chamber of Secrets by J.K. Rowling. Then you can either get a description, you can get a list of the contents, or you can just start listening to the book. If you've got more than one book in the search results, you know, it'll say number one, number two, and you just say, yep, number one or number two, whatever one you want. So it's very straightforward. Once you start playing the book, you can start and stop, you can move from section to section, or you can cancel and go back to the main menu, so that when you next start the same book, it will continue where you left off. So it is quite, you know, simple. There's not many commands. There are some things we are hoping to be able to do in the future, like being able to change the reading speed and being able to navigate around the book, you know, by saying something like, you know, move forward 5 minutes or jump back 10 minutes. But some of them are out with our control, that, you know, the Amazon are in control of the player once you start listening to a book. What I would encourage anyone to do is please, if you can, give it a good review on Amazon, because Amazon, you know, will look at reviews, and the more reviews we get, the more they'll help us improve the player. We are also shortly introducing a bookshelf, so that when you request a book, it'll put it on your bookshelf, and you can then list what books you have on your bookshelf. Because at the moment, if you start a book and then start another one, you have to remember what book you were reading previously if you want to go back to it. Whereas if you have a bookshelf, you can see what's on your bookshelf and move between books. And we are also introducing, you know, better search functions, so you can search by genre, for example. So we are improving the skill. We very much welcome feedback from users, because, you know, particularly if you find a book that doesn't work, because we can't test every, you know, every one of our 34,000 titles. So if you come across a book that's faulty, or you've got any suggestions or anything you want to know about, you can email readingservices@rnib.org.uk and we'll get back to you. But, you know, sometimes we have a book that maybe won't play correctly, but we can go in and fix that. But if we don't know about it, you know, we can't fix it.
And will it remember your place?
It will. So when you're reading a book, if you say cancel, and then you come back to it, it will remember where you left off. And then, of course, once we've got the bookshelf, that'll make that process easier, because you'll be able to list the books on your bookshelf. And then once you've listened to it, you can delete it and, you know, keep your bookshelf nice and tidy.
And one of the things that always happens to me when I'm listening to talking books is I end up drifting off and, you know, falling asleep. So what happens there? How can I go back and find my place?
You can, when you're listening to a book, you can set an LED sleep timer. So you can say, you know, set sleep timer 30 minutes and it will do it. As I say, one of the things that you can't do is say jump back, you know, 5 minutes or 10 minutes. You can jump back chapter by chapter.
Okay. Yeah.
But, you know, but we are looking at with Amazon at making that, you know, better. But as I say, the more people that give us good reviews, the better that process would be.
Brilliant. Well, exciting times. Are you looking at other smart assistants, other platforms? Because obviously, you know, while we all know and love the A-Lady, she's not the only game in town. There is, of course, the Google Assistant and the Apple HomePod. Is the talking book skill likely to appear on any of those services in the future?
So we're in the process of developing it for the Google Home systems, but not at the moment, Apple. I should also, you know, point out, as well as the A-Lady devices, you know, you can have A-Lady on your smartphone, you can have A-Lady on your tablet. Quite a lot of TVs now have it built in. You know, it's in all sorts of devices. So once you've set it up with the A-Lady app, you can access the skill on any device that you've got registered to your Amazon account that has the A-Lady built in.
Yeah, and then of course, if you want to fully download the book and take it away and maybe listen to it on the bus or when you're on holiday or something like that, then you would be looking at something like the Easy Reader app to do that, I guess.
Yeah, and, you know, the number of books you'd have on a device will depend on, you know, the memory you've got. But our talking books, because they're essentially MP3 files, one of the largest books we've got is War and Peace, which is about 1.8 gigabytes, but most books tend to be sort of 200-400 megabytes in size. But, you know, if you've got fairly fast internet these days, then, you know, a book will be downloaded onto your device in 2-3 minutes, maybe a little bit longer. So as you say, you can download them to Easy Reader and then have, you know, books offline to listen to.
Is there anything you'd like to mention that I've not asked you about regarding the talking book skill?
I think I would say, look, you know, if you're thinking about it and you haven't got an A-Lady yet, you know, it's a really good device to have, and to have books literally, you know, at your command is just fantastic. Of course, the only thing you do need is to have Wi-Fi, but even that isn't hugely expensive. And as I say, you can do so much with these devices. And, you know, we've had customers who said, to be honest, I struggled with my smartphone to try and get Easy Reader and books onto it, but I've got the A-Lady now, and, you know, I can just read books when I want. So I think it's great we've got different solutions, you know, and someone like you or I might dip in and out of all the solutions we've got. Some people might just stick with the smart speaker skill, which is fine. What we want is for people to enjoy books, because, you know, I think when you said you were growing up, when I was growing up, books were precious because we had so few of them. You know, I think when we had the old talking book machine, there's only maybe a couple of thousand audiobooks. And, you know, books were, if you mentioned audiobooks in the 70s, it was in 80s, it was pretty much synonymous with RNIB. Then in the 90s, audiobooks became big business, you know, with companies like Audible, and now all the major publishers have an audio arms. So there's so much more choice in terms of audiobooks. Some of the big companies, publishers, are giving us their back catalogue and you know, new audiobooks for free. It's now easier to produce Braille files because books are produced electronically. So I think the future for reading is really exciting because you've got so much more choice. And, you know, we've got a big backlog of books that we're uploading to reading services. So, you know, we're getting more and more books, you know, by the day, and it is really exciting. And, you know, just to be able to hear about a book that someone might recommend or you've heard it on a TV or radio show, and to be able to go and download that, you know, within minutes, and particularly if it's free, I think it's just fantastic. And it's only something as a child I could have dreamed about, getting the latest book at the same time as everyone else.
Paul Porter, Digital Transformation Manager from RNIB's Library Services. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave.
Paul Porter there, RNIB's Digital Transformation Manager from RNIB's Reading Services. And we'd love to know what you think about that and anything else here on Tech Talk. It's been a good show, guys, I think. Tasneem, how was it for you?
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Thank you.
And Callum, any final thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely brilliant, as always. You know, I've learned a lot.
If you'd like to get in contact with Tech Talk, you can, of course, drop us a line, techtalk@rnib.org.uk on the email. I've been Dave Williams. Thanks so much to my co-hosts, Tasneem Arshad, Callum Stoneman. Until next time, bye for now.